Okay, so today we're going to discuss the story of the purchase of the kever, the burial plot for Sarah, and the significance of the story. Because the Mefarshim asked that question. I mean, I guess you can ask the question about any story in the Torah. Why do we have that story? What's the purpose of it? But Chazal definitely asked this with regard, or not Chazal, or the Mefarshim definitely ask, what's the significance of the story about Avram purchasing the Maaret HaMachpelah? Because it seems that there are a lot of details which seem to be unnecessary. So let's just run through the story, and then we'll share two different opinions initially, and then we'll discuss a third, and we will ask a few questions in between. So let's just read this story very quickly. So Sarah lived for 127 years. Vatama Sarah b'kiras arba hi Chevron. She dies in Kiras Arba, which is Chevron be'eretz Canaan. Avram comes to eulogize her. Now, let's focus on the conversation. What Avram wants, the offer, the counter offer, the counter offer, the counter offer. So let's try to make sure we get all the different points here. So Avram goes to Bnei Ches, and he says, so what is Avram asking for? What's he asking for?
Purchase a piece of land.
He wants a piece of land.
Burying place for Sarah.
Right. He wants more. Well, I think he wants more than a burial place. He wants an achuzas kever.
Achuzah, right. Okay.
In other words, he doesn't simply want a place to bury Sarah. He wants a place where it will be an achuzah, a lasting inheritance for him. In other words, right? Because if you notice, Vayinu b'nei Ches Avram le'mor lo, and b'nei Ches say, Shema'inu Adoni, Nisi Elokim atah b'zecheinu, you're like a prince of God. B'mivchar kfareinu, kfaras mesecha, you can choose whichever burial plot you want. Ish v'menu es kivro lo yuchlam mimcha mimkor v'secha. No one's going to stop it. You can bury your beloved wife wherever you want. Okay? So v'yakam Avram v'yishtachu la'ma'aretz in Ches, and Avram gets up, and he bows to the people, to Bnei Ches, v'yadaber itam l'mor, mi'esh es nafshechem likboros misim lefanai. If it's your wish that I, bury my dead, shma'uni ufigili be'efron v'tzelchar. I'd like to help me make an introduction to Ephron. Why? V'yitten li'es ma'aretz machpelah shelo asher b'ksei sadehu, v'kesef malei yitnen li basochem l'chuzas kaver. And he says, I would like him to give me the Maaret HaMachpelah, but I'll pay for it as, again, an achuzas kaver. So again, Avram's offer was he wants an achuzas kaver. They say the counter offer is wherever you want to bury. And Avram says, I would like an achuzas kaver, specifically in the Maaret HaMachpelah. So please make an introduction to Ephron. Now, v'Ephron yoshev b'soch b'nei chetz, Beyond Ephron, he heard, I guess he heard about Avram's request, and then he's about to make a counter offer. Lo So what's Ephron's counter offer? What's his counter offer?
He's giving it to him.
Okay, he's giving it to him. Is that it? Is that the only change?
He also gives him the field,
The field
right?
also, right? Okay, so he's giving him the field also. So all Avram initially wants is he wants first a kever, a burial plot, and then after the counter offer by Bnei Ches, Avram wants the burial plot, which will be the Ma'ara, the cave. The Maaret HaMachpelah, and Ephron is offering to give to Abraham the field and the Ma'ara. Avram really originally wants to pay, and Ephron says, I'll give it to you for free. Vayishtachu Avram lifnei am ha'aretz. Avram shows respect, he bows. Vayidaber Ephron baznei b'nei am ha'aretz. L'mor im ata lu shma'ini, nasati kesef ha'sadeh, kach imeni v'kibras misim shema. You know what? I'll take the field also, but I'm going to pay. I want to pay. I don't want it for free. V'yan Ephron es Avram le'mor lo. Ephron responds to him, Anini shmaini, my master, listen to me. Eretz arba me'el shekel kesev b'nei b'ncha ma'hibes me'eschat for. Okay, what's 400 shekel between me and you? And you can bury your dead. V'yishma Avraham el Ephron, v'yishkol Avraham le'Ephron es ha'kesev shen dibe b'zne b'cheis. Arba me'el shekel kesev over la socher. So finally, a deal is struck, and Avram pays 400 shekel. And v'yakom stei Ephron asher b'mach pe'la, asher lifnei mamrei ha'sadeh. So then the field plus the cave passes where? To Avram as his possession. And after this, he buries Sarah, his wife, in the cave of Machpelah. And again, the Torah emphasizes V'yakom asedev amarah shebol Avram lachuzas kaver meis bnei ches. And Avram gets the field and the cave. There's a lot of negotiation. I mean, is the Torah trying to guide us on what's proper negotiation? Why the give and take? Why the detail here? Why is the Torah to tell us about how he got the field from Sarah? So that's what we're going to try to discuss.
They each have different agendas here.
Who has an agenda?
They both do.
Okay, what's Avram's agenda?
Avram's agenda is not to ever be beholden to these people.
Okay.
That he's buying everything legally.
Right.
And it is legally.
Yeah, I mean, it's very. If you notice the language, Sandra, look at Pasuk Yud, right? He says, "Yinena li besochachem." I want it to be at full price in your midst. Everyone should be present and watching me do this. Pasuk Yud, right? Ephron answers Avram, Baznei b'nei ches, l'chol boi shairo. Everyone's there. You also have in Pasuk Yud Aleph, right? Nisatia le'enei b'nei ami. Everyone's around. And even after the purchase, that it takes place, le'enei b'nei ches, b'chol bar shairo. No, this is everyone sees the sale. Everyone's around, you know, has to be legit for cash or whatever, for money, and everyone has to see it's a real sale. And what's the agenda of Ephron, Sandra, or B'nai Ches? What's their agenda?
I think they would want to eventually intermarry, erase the society of the Jewish people. Huh. That there should be an end for it.
I don't know. Okay, I think you're reading into it, but
maybe I am.
I'm not saying you're correct. It could simply be. Imagine, right? Imagine if you're a wealthy balabas, right? And in your backyard you have your beis avos, right? Everyone had their own graveyard and their own backyard. So what an honor would be. Well, what an honor it would be to have. The Gadol Hador buried in your backyard. So you can look at it like that.
But here they have the Gerva Toshav thing,
yeah,
which is more than just having the honor. The whole Jewish people depend upon that.
Oh.
Are we there? Are we a Toshav? And that's what they're negotiating here.
Well, again, that's Avram's view. No, I think that could be Avram's view. But it's not 100% clear what Ephron's position and what B'nai Ches' position is. Avram feels torn. He's both a ger and a tosher of salvation, because there's a famous piece about that. Okay, so what's the significance of the story? Like, what's the message, the significance? Why is it telling you to give and take? What do you think the significance of the story is here?
When Avram really buys a piece of land,
right,
really that belonged to those people that lived in the area, when he buys with full money, he really elevates a place that is really ordinary to a holy place.
Okay.
So he pays for it with full money.
I understand. So why is the Torah telling us this? What's the message? What's the significance of the story? The lengthy negotiations. What's the significance here?
This is really the first time that a Hebrew buys a piece of land in Eretz Israel.
Okay, So maybe it wants to tell you about that. This is maybe a fulfillment of of God's promise to Avram Avinu. If you look at the Ibn Ezra, so Ibn Ezra says the following. Ibn Ezra says in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Yutes that, he says, V'achra kin kavar Avram isara umi'az niskaim asara lachuzas kavar lo lazaro. Avram now has the field as a burial place for him and his descendants. V'nizkra zos apar shel odia malas Eretz Yisrael akol haratzos l'chayim ul'meisim. We see how great Eretz Yisrael, how much greater Eretz Yisrael is than the other lands for both the living and the dead. It's also good to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, right? A lot of people may live in Chutz La'aretz, but they say they want to buy a kever in Eretz Yisrael because there's a maila to maybe there's a higher status of Eretz Yisrael, not just for the living but also for the dead. Vod lekayem devar Hashem la'avram lios lo nachla. So what Gila was saying, that we see maybe this is a beginning of fulfillment from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Avram Avinu that he's going to have an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban has a different opinion. The Ramban says that v'nichtava zosa parsha lodia chastiyash. Oh, let's skip. We're going to get to Ramban's reason, his explanation, but let's go to where it says v'lo yadati. He disagrees with Ibn Ezra. He says v'lo yadati tam l'divei Rabbi Avram she'omer lodia malos erchel l'chaim l'meisim. He read the Ibn Ezra's explanation. He says, I don't agree. And v'o l'chaim lo devar Hashem lios lo nachla. Ibn Ezra says to show the greatness of Eretz Yisrael and to fulfill the promise that Hashem made as a gift, he's going to give Eretz Yisrael as a inheritance to Avram. He says ki ma mala l'eretz bozeh ki lo yulichen l'eretz acheres l'kavra. I understand why is this land so unique. Avram's not going to show how unique this land is. No, Sarah dies in Chevron, so Avram buries her in Chevron. How does that show that Eretz Yisrael is so much greater than any other land? And you normally are going to bury someone where they die. And secondly, v'diber Hashem la'Avraham al kol ha'aretz. Dvar Hashem la'Avraham al kol ha'aretz haya v'niskayim rak bizarro. He said this isn't a fulfillment of God's promise to Avram Avinu. What was the promise? It was number one for the whole land, and number two for his children. And this was neither. So Ramban does not agree with Ibn Ezra as to the significance of the details of the story. Why does Torah go on and tell us so much about the story? We don't find when it comes to, you know, other people who died that they discuss all the details about the burial. So the Ramban says, V'nichtava zosa parsha, and this section is written, Lodia chaste Hashem im Avraham, to demonstrate, to make known the kindness of God with Avraham. Shehaya nasi Elokim ba'aretz, that Avram was a prince of God in the land. Asher ba lagur sham v'yachid v'chol ha'am korim lo Adoni. They all called him master. V'hu he came there and he was, I guess, an individual, and everyone was calling him master. V'hu lo amar lahem kain shehaya sar v'gadol. He didn't say this to them. He didn't say to them Adoni because he was like a prince. And v'gam b'chayav kiyem lo v'gadla shemecha v'yei bracha. And also in his life, the bracha, the blessing that Hashem told Avram in the beginning of Lech Lecha, that I'm going to make your name great, this is fulfilled because he is being received with honor. V'ishto meisav nikra b'nachlas Hashem. And his wife dies, and she's buried in the portion of God. So the first reason that we mention the story is to see how Avram is respected by the inhabitants of the land. Vol ki ratzel odienu makom kvuras avos v'asher nachle chayim lechabed makom kvuras avos sein hakdoshim. Also, the Torah wants to tell us where the avos are buried, so we have to honor this place, the burial place of our ancestors. And Rabbi Seinu Amru, and a rabbi said, Shigam zemin ha nisyono shel Avram. Shibikish makom likbor asar v'lo matza ad shekhanoso. So Chazal say that this is one of the tests of Avram, that he wanted to bury Sarah and he had to purchase it. So that's the Ramban. Ramban gives three reasons. He says to teach us the honor.
He had to purchase it. They were going to give it to him for free. He wanted to purchase it.
Right. So, well, maybe he thought, it's a good point, maybe he thought that, well, he had a lot of difficulty. Maybe he thought that the only way that he could get it is by purchase. It could be lechatchila, like here he is, this prince of God, and he has to negotiate. So it could be that he had to purchase it, Dave, because he was concerned that they might renege on the deal. We'll see the different reasons why he had to purchase it. Maybe what the Chazal are telling us is that at the end of the day, he only felt comfortable taking title to the land if he would have to end up buying it. Maybe because they initially said, just bury it in our lot. And so maybe he was concerned, and so therefore he had to buy. Now, it wasn't coming easy to him. The land was promised to Avram as a nachla, as an inheritance. And that's not what ended up happening. In other words, if they would have said, just bury it in my backyard, then that wouldn't have been sufficient for him. And I guess even if they would have given to him for free, the way it was done, he didn't have confidence that was the case. That's the other two different explanations. Now, Rav Mordechai Breuer is more of a modern parshan, and he says it's difficult to assume that this section is about honoring holy places, because it's not really mentioned in the Torah about the holiness of Maris and Machpelah at all. And really, there's really not a lot mentioned in Chazal about Maris and Machpelah. So it's very hard to say that he wants to show that we have to honor this place. I mean, nowadays, obviously, we go to Maris and Machpelah, I'd say this week's Parsha, Chayisara, but you don't find a discussion about the holiness of Maris and Machpelah in Tanakh, in Chazal. And also, the fact that they honored Avraham, it almost seems like a side point. It doesn't seem to be like a major point that they're discussing here. And so what Rabbi Breuer argues is, if you think about what's the story really about, the story is really about the special hashgacha that allowed Avram to purchase the grave, I mean the cave, the ma'ara as a grave, and the field to buy Sarah. As I mentioned, there were four steps. First, Avram wants to buy wants to bury Sarah, and then, right, as an achuza, and then he's granted burial rights, and then he asks Ephron, "I'd like to have this specific cave in exchange for payment." He's granted the land, but then he wants to buy it, and then he's finally given the opportunity to buy, and then he buys it. And the question is, why is it so important that Avram owns the grave as a lasting inheritance? So a lot of the Mefarshim pick this up. The Sfarno, for example, says, L'achuzas kaver, she'af al pi she'yimkor. That even though he would sell it, why does he want to be an achuzas kever? Like an achuza, like a lasting inheritance. Ulai, Ya'ar'er shelo ekbor etzel gvulo. L'chein yishol shim kareni l'achuzas kaver. Maybe if I just purchase it, but not as an achuza, an achuza seems to be greater power, greater strength, that he wants, nobody is going to challenge it. I guess if you buy it as an achuza, then nobody challenges it. I don't want simply to buy it as a right to maybe buy the right to bury my wife there. I want to buy it as an achuza, something that's going to pass from generation to generation, so no one has a claim to it. And the Chizkuni says, "Tenu li achuzas kever." So he says, "Im ekboris may see be'echad mi stay ancheir." Let's say I simply were to bury my dead in one of the fields of the people of the city. Hayom olamachar, today or tomorrow, yavo balasade lachrosh v'yichatet bekever v'yashlecha tamos. So it's the owner of a field is going to plow the field, and he's going to clear the kever, and he's going to throw out the bones. Aval mishatitnu li achuzas kever ein lachushi yach reshubo. Once they give it to me as a lasting inheritance, there's no concern that they will plow the city. And the Radak says something similar. He says, Ger betoshav, ger anochi, ki yamim rabim yashati b'neichem v'dati l'shev siwachen. Listen, I have lived with you for many days, and I want to live with you. I want to dwell with you. L'fichach amar, ani v'akesh b'kem shetitnu li makom bartzachem, shiye li achuzav ulubanai acharai. That there, because I'm living amongst you, so I would like you to give me a place in your land that will serve as an achuza for me and for my children after me. All I want is an achuzas cover. I want the ability not just for me, but also for my kids to have a burial plot. And I've been living with you for a long time, so I would like to have the right to do this. So it's by the way, it's fascinating is that Avram is viewed as an Asi Elohim. He is a prince of God. He is being treated with so much honor, and yet he's having so much trouble even getting a piece of land to bury his wife.
Now, interesting, Rabbi, we're still fighting over Hebron.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, myselfos. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to try to get to. So the question is, why is it significant that Avram Avinu buys the cave and the field instead of merely being granted the right to bury Sarah there? Why is it so significant? So Rabbi Breuer says that there must be something special about this place, and Avram is taking hold of part of the land. Now there's Rabbi Breuer, it goes back to Ibn Ezra, and he says the fact that Avram at the end of the day, so he gives a different answer. Sfarno, Chizkun, Radak give their answers. But Rav Breuer says, no, maybe the fact that Avram goes out of his way to specifically buy the field instead of simply having the right to bury his wife there, maybe because there is something special about this place. And secondly, even though Eretz Yisrael, the Promised Land, it wasn't called Eretz Yisrael yet, but even though the Promised Land will be given to his descendants, but this is still going to be the Promised Land, and therefore Avram is taking hold of part of the land. And so he is doing something to perhaps further his interest in Eretz Yisrael. Right, it's not the official Nachla that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to his descendants, but this is the Promised Land, and Avram is taking hold of it. And it seems actually what's happening in this chapter is that the Torah is weaving two narratives into one narrative. There are really two things going on here. There is Avram's, we think it's all about the burial of Sarah. But then when you look closer, it's not only about the burial of Sarah, it's about the acquisition from Avram of part of Eretz Yisrael. And these two stories are woven into each other. And what ultimately happens is Avram Avinu ultimately acquires part of Eretz Yisrael, albeit with much difficulty. And maybe the significance of the story is, which, because the story is really about the struggle that Avram has to acquire the land and eventually acquiring the land, again, in the context of burying his wife. In other words, you think initially the story is about Avram burying his wife. But it's more than that. It's about, at the end of the day, he gets not only the kever, but he also gets the field, and he acquires it as an achuza for him and his descendants. And maybe the message, you know, like a maise ava simon labanim, the message is that it won't be easy to acquire the land in the future. He had to negotiate back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But God will watch over us as we struggle, and eventually we will succeed in conquering the land. And maybe that's the significance of the story. It's not about the honor of Avram receiving. It's not simply about being a test. It's really about the struggle of acquiring Eretz Yisrael. And it's more than simply the burial. It's Eretz Yisrael, and we see that we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha of, through Avram wanting to bury his wife, he gets a portion in Eretz Yisrael, and this is a maise ava sim labanim for what is to come.
So that has significance to us, Rabbi, to this very day. It's this very day that it's not easy acquiring Eretz.